answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
For some time, I have urged the administration, I've urged Israel to arm the protesters in Iran. I don't think it is fair to expect the Iranian people to stand up, protesters to stand up with rocks against soldiers with machine guns. Are we arming the protesters, and should we be?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any program to arm civilians in Iran to overthrow their government. I mean, there may be other countries doing it or other elements, but certainly not the U.S. government.
That was a question from Senator Cruz to Secretary of State Rubio. Are we directly arming the Iranians inside their country so they can actually stand up to the regime? Yeah, you want to go out and have a protest and shout and yell and throw rocks at those who could fire back with machine guns, artillery? Now, there'd been reports that we were going to help some of the previous Kurdish forces to be armed so they could go back in and take over Iran. Keep in mind, at one time, Iran was Persia. And also keep in mind, at one time, Iran, prior to them taking over our embassy, when the Ayatollahs got in control, the mullahs, they were the most Western nation in the Middle East. There were schools for children, including girls. They were not having cover themselves from head to toe. They could not be taken out in the street and beaten just because a man wanted to do that to a woman and it was accepted under Sharia law. None of that existed. But the question Cruz raised reminds me of the question regarding former President Ronald Reagan authorizing the covert arming at that time of the Contra rebels in Nicaragua during the 1980s. And that event led to me being in a White House event, meeting and interviewing President Reagan. I'll tell you more about that before we wrap up this hour. Some of you might recall it right away, and some are it's a little in the back of your head, but you can't recall everything. I'll get into it more detail for you before we wrap up this hour, I promise you. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, June 5, 2026. So with Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. And reminding you, if you miss any part of this program, you can pull it up as a podcast. We offer audio and video podcasts through Newstalk STL. You can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And reminding you, while we're on the air, like right now, as you're listening to me, you can go right now to Larry Connors USA Rumble, and you're going to see the program as it's happening. Or you can go to News Talk STL Rumble. Glad to have you. Hey, how you doing? Hope you're getting ready for a great weekend, a safe, fun weekend with your family. But we're glad to have you either by audio or video. And again, reminding you, if you miss anything, you can pull up the podcast. In the last hour, our story behind the story, our feature that we always have in the 6 o'clock hour, dealt with the assassination of Robert Kennedy. Right after he had won the California election and was basically on his way to the White House with additional elections yet to come. And the man that was arrested, and it happened on this date, the man that was arrested, questions later came up, did he even know what he was doing? And there are questions about, was he acting alone? Yes, the same thing we heard from the assassination of his brother, President Kennedy, in Dallas. But it was on this date, 1968, that Robert Kennedy was killed. If you miss that story and you want to hear it and you want to hear the questions about Sirhan Sirhan's motives and did he or did he not do it, pull up the podcast. LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, or Newstalk STL. And then share it with others. We thank you for doing that. Now back to Secretary of State Rubio testifying in Congress this week, the House and the Senate, as what's happening with Iran. Now, Rubio made a very distinct point regarding Israel and Lebanon. We've got Iran dealing with them and the Hormuz Strait and Iran's nuclear weapon. And then we have the issue with Lebanon, the Hezbollah terrorists operating out of southern Lebanon, constantly hitting Israel when they're supposedly making a peace. Rubio made it very clear you had to look at this in two different factions.
It's one of the most ironic situations in the world. The Lebanese government and the Israeli government could do a peace deal tomorrow. Israel has no territorial claims in Lebanon. And Hezbollah is in particular, in fact, Hezbollah has called for the overthrow of the current Lebanese government. The impediment in Lebanon is the fact that Hezbollah has embedded itself into that country and is the reason for all the suffering that's happening there right now and all the suffering that's historically happened. Entirely funded, entirely controlled by Iran. There is no Hezbollah without Iran. There is no Hezbollah without Iran. I mean, there might be a political movement with ideology, but they don't have a bunch of rockets. They don't have a bunch of weapons without Iran. They are a complete, total proxy of Iran.
They are a proxy of Iran. He's making it very clear they would not even exist. And then Secretary of State Rubio again in this hearing, addressing specifically to Senator Cruz why the Strait of Hormuz is one of the key elements that must be resolved.
And these would be consistent with my thinking. I would only reverse it in the following order. The Straits of Hormuz, it would have to come first, because what they're doing there is unlawful and illegal to begin with. That has to open immediately. And that has to open immediately in exchange, not for anything else other than us lifting the blockade. We have a blockade on Iranian oil leaving. And the reason why we have a blockade on Iranian oil leaving is because they closed the straits. If they open the straits, and by open the straits, understand what we're saying. It's saying you're not going to threaten to shoot at commercial vessels of civilians and create, you know, ecological disaster. That's what they're doing. It's unlawful. It's illegal. It's outrageous. Every country in the world condemns it. If they end that, we lift the blockade. Then we enter into the second phase, which is the nuclear question. On enrichment, they don't have to. They don't need to enrich. If what they want is a nuclear energy program, they can have one without enrichment. And it was somebody the other day, a few questions ago, I forgot who it was, said that what we're working on is similar to JCPOA. It is not. JCPOA would have expired this year. And it allowed them to keep all the enrichment equipment that they needed. And clearly that equipment could get them to 60 and 90% because they've done it to 60% as a result of it.
So we already know they have the uranium, and obviously there's a question about getting it back in. But the blockade that we have in place is to keep them from selling their oil and getting more money to fund their terrorist activities around the world, targeting not just Israel, not just Jews, but even their Arab nations, as a matter of fact, and U.S. forces in the region, and Americans everywhere, whether you're on vacation in Europe or you're sitting in your home listening to me right now. Now, dealing with a blockade and sanctions, trying to cut off the flow of oil and any money going to them, I think it works. We're seeing it work. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul addressed that point, and he's going to make it clear that he's not sure it does work, and yet at the same time, he almost has to admit, I think it is working.
I've said for a long time and argued for a long time that sanctions in and of themselves rarely, if ever, are of any value. I've yet to see any Chinese behavior that's changed because of sanctions. I've yet to see any Russian behavior change because of sanctions. I've really yet to see any Iranian behavior change because of sanctions. However, sanctions do have some leverage and ability to exact change if you remove them. So the removal of sanctions might have some hope. So I support the administration in this. Now, there are many Republican critics who have been vocal on the airwaves recently saying, oh, no, we can never negotiate with them. These are terrible people. Well, you don't really negotiate with really friendly, good people. You know, in a time of war, you're going to have to negotiate with an adversary. So I do commend and supportive of the idea of this. And the other thing is, it's very verifiable. You don't have to wait for verification. You could say the trade sanctions end as soon as we get the 440 kilograms of enriched uranium. Now, it has to be dug, I guess, some of it from under a mountain of rubble. But at the same time, be very verifiable.
I applaud Kentucky Senator Rand Paul for making it clear that he might not think sanctions do a job, but at the same time, he's acknowledging they seem to be doing it. not really an apology and a correction of his view. He still has a view that I don't think it does anything. And he says, I don't think we're really seeing anything from the sanctions we have put on Iran. Now, there I would have to say, Senator, look. Yes, I know they're continuing to fire on their neighbors with ballistic missiles. And yes, they're probably wanting to still develop nuclear weapons. But they continue to carry out their war of terror. And the Hezbollah, as you heard earlier, Secretary of State Rubio reclassified state, they're not a government organization. They're a terrorist group funded by Iran. And the president of Lebanon has made it very clear, we're watching Iranians and Israel, in his view, use us as a bargaining chip, our nation of Lebanon. We got to put the blame on the Hezbollah terrorist, which leads you right back to Iran. You can't just say it's all because of what Israel or Iran is doing. It's got to be right in the backyard of Iran. That's where it's carried out. And they don't care. They do not care, because if they can continue to wage war, they're going to do so. So I would say yes, at this point, Senator Rand Paul, the sanctions are working. We know that in fact, do we not? Hey, we're getting some great news regarding American business, which means it will translate to American economy, which means it translates to you and your family. And, of course, part of it coming directly from a decision by President Trump.
Mr. President, all West Virginians are so deeply grateful to you for your focus on protecting their energy jobs. The coal miners know the incredible importance of why we're here today, and to talk about the potential for new coal-fired power plants, that excites them. And I think West Virginians are really inspired because we're America's energy state. When you think about what's happening on the global scene, where that fight, that international fight with China for information technology supremacy, we believe that your policies are going to allow America to compete and win, and West Virginia is going to supply the coal, the gas, the nuclear to help make that happen. So I'm very excited by everything you're doing, even some of the relatively small things when you come in and you sign agreements with your administration, putting hundreds of people back to work. It's all making a big difference for West Virginia. So thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, that is a West Virginia governor. Patrick Morrissey, saying all West Virginians are so deeply grateful for you focusing on them. Do you remember? Are you listening? Are you listening? Do you remember when Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden's attitude was, we're just going to shut your coal mines down? In fact, Hillary in particular was saying, while she was running against Trump at the beginning, we don't really care about you coal miners. You just have to go learn another skill, learn how to type on a computer if you can read. That was basically their attitude. They wanted to move away from fossil fuel. And the other day, as we reported to you, even the UN General Council has admitted there is no more global warming issue, never has been, and they're admitting it's a hoax. The whole idea was to shut down coal mines because they were contributing to emissions polluting our world. And we were doing it under the Biden administration, the Obama administration, and would have under the Hillary administration. But China continues to just pollute the air and are building more coal plants. Well, now President Trump is using powers to dole out $700 million to produce what he says clean, beautiful coal. West Virginia going to be a big recipient of it. Indiana will also be a recipient, as well as any other state where they have coal and they want to get back to work. And they're going to build a major port to export it to other nations that need it. Now, at the same time, you got the naysayers still coming forward saying Trump may claim coal can be clean, but experts say there's no such thing. Look, you're going to have scientists on either side arguing. And they'll say follow the science, but they really mean follow my science. this $700 million investment in coal plants and then building a California export terminal. Look for the state of California, try to fight it with regs and everything else. They're basically slapping their own people in the face again, but that's nothing new, is it, in California? They make a habit of doing it, and the people in California, not all of them, there are some Republicans and independents there, and there are some Democrats that recognize this is not going well. And they're going to get to a point where they're going to get fed up with it, say, I'm done. Good, I'd like to see that. But they still have such a grip on the state, it's not changing right now. Same with Democrats in Illinois, particularly Northern Illinois, trying to run the rest of the state. And in New York and other blue states. We are seeing, as we pointed out earlier, a massive numbers job that absolutely is delivering in the Trump economy what some are calling blue-collar boom, manufacturing real jobs boosting. Labor Department today releasing a notation. Hourly pay is up more than 5%. The average work week is expanded, particularly due to rising overtime. Manufacturing workers making cars, steel workers and others, and fabricated, prefabricated, all showing increases. And yet the left will try to sell you the story. Oh, well, you're paying a little extra of the gas, right? And your eggs are costing a little bit more because the Iran war, the illegal Iran war. Riddle me this. Would you rather have 4 cents less a gallon for the gasoline or a nuclear bomb coming from Iran? That's not hypothetical. It's what Iran wants to have happen. And they will make it happen if they can. Coming up, the effort to ban one of the most popular handguns. It's already been banned, or they did in one state, looking to do it in more. And yet it's not yet official. We're going to try to stop short of it happening. John Lott will discuss the banning of the Glock. Yes or no? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoons height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy. And the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Despite what we were telling you about how Trump is getting the coal industry revitalized and everything else and more jobs, it was a shocking news. Even CNN had to admit it. They're still sniping away. I mean, I'm looking at a piece on the Hill saying Trump's net approval is hitting a new low, according to a new polling tracker. Yeah, well, continue believing that. But we do have something in front of us we need to deal with, and that is Connecticut's Democrat governor joining California, signing into law a ban on the manufacture, sale, purchase, transfer of guns with a cruciform trigger bar. Now, we'll get into exactly what that is in a moment, but the specific gun they're looking at would be Glocks. And joining us to get a better handle on it is John Lott himself, and he is a charge of and founded crimeresearch.org. John, welcome aboard, sir.
Oh, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
So what is the, and I have three Glocks, and I have a couple SIGs. What is the issue, and why they're, what's this, how you would describe the cruciform trigger bar, and is it any different in any other pistol, or like the SIG, or any other pistol to that extent?
Right. So, you know, it's not just Connecticut. You also just had Maryland and California had previously had a ban on Glocks or Glock-style guns.
Right.
New York and Illinois are also considering right. this legislation.
And New York. So,
right, in New York. And basically, it's a safety device that's in the gun to keep it from accidentally firing that's there. Most semi-automatic handguns have something that's very similar to it, if not exactly the exact same mechanism that's there. And the claim is that there's something called the Glock switch that can be added to the style of, they say, turn it into a fully automatic gun. That's not really the case. What happens is it's a very different mechanism than a fully automatic gun. What it does is it kind of force feeds the bullets into the chamber, and you don't always get the chamber closed when the guns fire. So what you want to have when you fire a gun is to have the chamber closed so the explosion goes out through the front of the barrel. But if the chamber doesn't completely close, then what happens is that the explosion will not only go out the barrel on the front, but will go down through the magazine that's there. And there have been people who use these guns that have been adjusted in this way that have pieces of metal that go flying all over the place. They can lose an eye. They've lost hands as a result. And it's one reason why you rarely see these criminals using this type of Glock switch. We looked at the data from the beginning of 2021 through the end of or just the end of May this year. And what you find is that there's only been 20 cases where somebody has used that type of adjusted gun in a crime. And half of those, only one person was killed. And about two-thirds of those, you have two or less people. So it's not even really clear what they gained by doing this, because presumably if they had a regular semi-automatic gun, they should be able to go and kill one person or maybe two people.
So let me drill down for those who don't follow guns that closely. Glocks being sold over the counter right now with proper approval, do they have this feature, and are people then messing with it or adding it?
That's an excellent question. Yeah, so but there are these add-on devices that are illegal. It's illegal under federal law. More than half the states also have additional criminal penalties that are there. And so what happens is you basically, the only people that have tried to make this adjustment are criminal gangs,
yep,
drug gangs,
yep,
that will go and try to make this adjustment. But as I say, even most of these gangs, while they may think it's neat to have a gun that can fire rapidly like that, most of them are smart enough not to do that to their guns, because they're just as likely to go and injure the person who's firing the gun, yep, as it is to shoot anybody.
Now, more than 65% of police departments in our nation have Glock handguns in the possession of their officers. That's what they carry for the most part, correct?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's by far the most popular gun used by police, different blocks. And, you know, it's one of the most popular handguns that are used by civilians.
Now, the other point, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm trying to cover a lot of territory. Please forgive me.
Sure.
But one of the things, aside from all the talk about the trigger forming and everything else, the bottom line is, these guns generally do not have, these particular pistols, semi-automatics, many of them do not have a safety switch, and that is a fact. And I tell people, say, oh my God. So no, the key is, and police officers, you know, they're going to need it immediately. They can't worry about a safety switch. They pull it out. I carry my Glocks, but here's the difference. I don't carry it chambered, which I have officers tell me, and you'll probably agree,
right,
well, you're not going to be able to do anything. Say, well, I know if they get away from me, I got one chance. But the problem we have with accidental deaths of children, which always get clumped into a gun in use, is that someone has one chambered, a child can pull the trigger easily enough, but no child probably under the age of 12 could chamber and put a bullet into the chamber to actually fire it when they pull the trigger. That is a safety feature right there. That's a safety feature in itself.
You're exactly right. Just the strength necessary to go and pull the slide back. You're right. Kids under 12 are very unlikely to have the physical strength to be able to go and do that. And it is an important safety feature. The fact that, you know, even if you don't have an additional safety on the gun, if you don't have one bullet that's already chambered there, you can pull the trigger as many times as you want, and there's no, it's not going to fire.
You're listening to John Lott, founder of the crimeresearch.org, and I know you stay on top of this all the time. Are you beginning to see more of the public realize that, hey, we've been sold a lie about guns are a danger and the guns are to blame, not the person firing it, but the gun itself? I can put a Glock on the table and it will sit there all day and no one will be killed until it's picked up and used by someone in a way it shouldn't be.
I think what's happening is they want to go and ban all handguns,
yeah,
but they know that they can't do that. And so they try to come up with some type of story that will allow them to, in this case, ban one of the most popular models of guns that are out there. And, you know, they just want to take a slice at a time, whether they want to go and call them, you know, easily concealable handguns they want to buy, even though it's beneficial for people with concealed carry permits.
Right.
Or they want to go and ban so-called Saturday night specials, which just means that they want to buy relatively lower cost handguns, which may be beneficial for people who are poor to be able to go and defend themselves and their families.
Now, very quickly, we know the NRA and the other Second Amendment Foundation are filing against the Maryland new law and everything else, trying to keep it from coming in. We'll see appeals go out. But in the meantime, in Maryland and even in Connecticut, and where they've already done it, in Illinois, New York, considering, can you still buy a Glock as it is right now?
Well, right now, I mean, when the law is going to effect in a month or two, it's going to depend on how quickly you can get decisions from the courts that can go and put a temporary stay on these types of laws. But I wouldn't be surprised that you'll see at least some periods of time where people aren't going to be allowed to buy them.
Now, how does that affect someone coming into the state that bought it somewhere else legally?
Right. Well, it's going to depend upon the different state laws. Some of them will ban it. You know, you're just not allowed to own it. Some of them grandfather in whether somebody already has it. New Jersey, it has gone to court to get discovery to know everybody who's bought any type of gun in the state through a licensed dealer. Yeah. And they want to use that to be able to go and confiscate locks. The problem is that, you know, that's not going to get people from out of state. But also the only people that they're getting are people who are law-abiding.
Yes.
Who went through a licensed dealer to go and obtain the gun to begin with.
Absolutely.
They're not going to get these gangs. And the law-abiding people aren't making these adjustments to the guns.
John Lott, I want to thank you for your time. Again, folks, you can follow John at crimeresearch.org. I suggest you check it out immediately and see all the work they are doing to protect our Second Amendment rights. And John, as always, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Thank you very much.
You bet, John. Yeah, that's, as he said, the bottom line is they do not want you to have a gun to protect yourself and your family. The same ones are willing to let illegals come in and carry out all kinds of crimes, but you're not allowed as a law-abiding citizen to have a weapon to protect yourself and your family. Doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't. Coming up, Secretary of State Rubio in face of the Congresswoman from California. Oh, you got to hear this. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Last question for you. Mr. Secretary, who won the 2020 presidential election?
I'm not here to answer a question. We're talking about 2020. This is a foreign affairs committee.
Okay, great. You can't answer the question, even though we all know that President Biden won.
I don't answer the question because as Secretary of State, I do not participate in domestic political issues.
This is not about domestic political issues.
Oh,
this is about our democracy.
You're asking me to opine, just like I don't do campaign rallies.
It seems like
I don't
you...
Do because as Secretary of State, we're not supposed to. That's been the long tradition of the department. And you should know that if you've been on this committee for any period of time.
Mr. Secretary, it seems like you have an issue admitting facts. You can't say that the president lost the 2020 election, just like you won't admit President Trump is losing this reckless war of choice, and just like you couldn't admit that the shoes the president bought you were too big. You clearly don't know what winning means, and not because the facts are unclear to you, it's because telling your the truth would cost you your job, and the American people are entitled to a Secretary of State who tells them the truth even when the president doesn't want to hear it, and my constituents, our service members, deserve better. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
I don't know what shoes she's talking about. What is she talking about?
Representative Burchett, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you'd like to answer any of that.
Yeah, I don't know about the shoes.
He gave
me some Florsheim shoes. They're actually pretty good. They fit fine. I don't know what she's talking about. And maybe that's what she's referring to.
Your shoes look very nice today, Mr. Secretary.
Well, how can you see them? They're way down here. We're talking about shoes. Are you guys kidding me? I mean, is this the Foreign Affairs Committee or is this like a circus? What is this?
I think it's a circus. But I appreciate you.
He nailed it. There was Secretary of State Rubio dealing with California whack-out Congresswoman Jacobs, and she said she had to bring in his shoes. Trump gave you some shoes, and you said they were too big for your feet. You know what she's referencing. Let's go back when Trump and Rubio were going at it as political opponents for the White House, and Trump was calling him little hands, little feet. Remember that? That's kind of what she's trying to reference. And Rubio said, why are we even discussing him? But I'll tell you, the shoes fit fine. But what is this, a congressional hearing or is it a circus? It is a circus, sir, the way they're running it. That reminds me. Give me a second here. I'm out of position for that. Hand me that bag, will you, Jerome, that one bag. When I tell you, and I used to do this a lot, I might as well do it again here because it just fit perfectly and I just now thought of it. When he said, is it a circus? Send in the clowns. Get all the clowns in the car. Yep. Hadn't used a whistle in a long time. I thought, why not? I just thought of it. This program develops in my mind as we're doing it, which is scary, I admit. Those of you watching on Zoom, or I should say on Rumble, you either watch now or you could be doing it now or you watch it later. Now, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that don't really get expressed on the air. I'm constantly into my computer pulling up stories, printing new stuff off because I want to bring you the latest information I've got and new ideas that hit me. I do a lot of prep getting ready for the program, but as Jerome knows, I suddenly come up with a lot of new stuff and throwing it at him. And he does a good job of making sure it gets on the air as I ask for it. Now, I had mentioned earlier that when Cruz was being or was questioning Secretary Rubio, when Senator Cruz was questioning him and asked, are we arming the Iranians so they have something to fight against the regime with, as opposed to throwing rocks and stones and sticks at an armed militia? Are we helping arm them? And Rubio testified, we are not supplying arms to the citizens of Iran. That I know of, we're not doing it. Now, I don't know if that night that I know of is a escape clause in case this is proven later. And I'm not saying we are. Now, there had been allegations and reports that we were going to arm Kurds so they could go back in and take over Iran gradually. But this flashes back to the Iran-Contra affair, and this, as I'd mentioned earlier, was an opportunity I had to go to the White House and do an interview with President Reagan. I actually sat at lunch with him for an hour plus, sitting about less than 8 feet from him and getting to ask him a lot of questions. Didn't have the camera rolling because it's just us in his conversation, but it was an opportunity that I will always remember. But I was there because Reagan was trying to cover up something that he had been involved in. Let's be very direct about it. And reporters across the nation were invited to a White House briefing. I was one of the ones invited. Now, you know, when I go into these things, I'm not their patsy. I'm going to ask tough questions. So we were basically in an assembly hall, a gathering place. I can't even recall, an office building next to the Capitol, to the White House. And we were being briefed by, at that time, Caspar Weinberger, Secretary of Defense, Larry Speaks. Let me think, I'm drawing a blank now. Suddenly, on some of the others that were there, Pat Buchanan and others, and they were all briefing us on what the president was or was not doing, reference Iran. I'm not Iran, but the Contras. What the issue was at that time, Ronald Reagan had authorized the covert arming of Contra rebels in Nicaragua during the 80s. Is a secret directive authorizing the CIA to spend $19 million to fund, train, and equip the Contras. The scandal broke in 86. So it was sometime after 86 that I'm there in the White House doing this, and I'm asking tough questions of Abrams, Weinberger, Caspar Weinberger, Speaks, and a couple of the others. And I'm one of the few in the room asking questions at all, and I don't softball questions like that. Now, at the end of that, they say, all right, we're all headed over to the White House for lunch with the president, but we need a couple of you to come up front. The first name they called was mine. I thought, whoops, I guess I lost my invitation. And I get up there and they tell me, you will be seated at the president's table. Wow. How about that? So I get there and we have a basic lunch, and I expect him to come in and just take a little sip of his coffee and then stand up, do a speech, and go. But no, he came and sat through the entire dinner. In fact, we were engaged in the conversation so much, and I was about the only one at the table asking questions. Two of them were staff members, and there were two or three, I think one or two other reporters, but they were really not asking anything. He was trying to make conversation with them, but they were just, they didn't know what to do. I don't know. But I got in conversations with him, not just about politics and the issue itself, but dealing with his time in California as an actor. And then, of course, being a Democrat and changing parties. Or as he said, I didn't change, the party left me. And it got to the point where the press aide had to come over and tell him, Mr. President, we need you to make the speech. You're on schedule. Because he was having a good time, and I was too. And I was thinking, look, even the opposition could sit and have a casual civil lunch with the president. You don't have to be in his face, fired up and angry about anything. And I was a Reagan supporter, but I was not going to make it appear to be that I was a Reagan patsy. Not during that questioning of Buchanan and Caspar Weinberger and others. But again, the reason we were up there is because the scandal broke about the covert operation. A cargo plane supplying the Contras was shot down over Nicaragua. Then a Lebanese magazine published details of an Iran arms deal. All of that triggered major congressional hearings. And you recall that several high-level officials, including I know you'll know the name as soon as I say it. Oliver North and National Security Advisor Poindexter were convicted of charges ranging from obstruction of justice to destroying government documents. Reagan did accept responsibility for the arms for hostages deal, trying to get our people out of Iran at that time and also trying to control what was happening in Nicaragua. Oliver North, a military aide to the UN National Security Council at that point, I should say the U.S. National Security Council, had actually proposed a plan for selling arms direct to Iran. Instead of selling arms to Israel, the sale would be directed at a markup, and a portion of the money would then go to the Contras for their war. It was a big ball of yarn. You start unraveling it, you didn't know what you're going to find as you pulled more of it out. But then it got exposed. But ended up getting me a White House invitation to a briefing and then a chance to have lunch with President Reagan. That's a highlight of my career, one of them, I have to admit it. And you know, you had no doubt with President Reagan. Let me add one other personal story. My daughters and wife knew I was going up. My daughters at the time were maybe 8 and 10, and they said, well, you tell him we wrote him letters and he hasn't written back. And I made a point to tell him. I said, Mr. President, my children, my two girls, they like you, but they're a little upset with you. And he kind of, I'm not going to try to duplicate Reagan. I couldn't do that. But I explained what it was that they say they had written letters. They hadn't gotten anything back. He said, well, what are their names? He took the name card that was on the table saying President Ronald Reagan, and he opened it up and started writing to them a note. I'm sorry I haven't responded before now. I just met your father. He's a fine man, or something like that. And I'm glad that I'm finally communicating back to you, something of that nature. And then gave me the presidential pen that he used to write the message. You're right, you're right. Yeah, Larry, you were selling out to him, weren't you? No, I wasn't selling out. You can have civility in politics. Too many people have forgotten that, have they not? But there was no doubt with Reagan, he was a patriot. He cared about this nation. You know he did. Did he do everything right just by what I was telling you? No, he didn't. He made mistakes. But he was a patriot. And that's something we're not even teaching our kids at all in school. We're not. Not doing the Pledge of Allegiance generally. And not only that, we're subjecting them to wokeism and everything else. And White House spokesman and counsel to the president right now, Stephen Miller, says we need to return to teaching our children patriotism.
Children will be taught to love America. Children will be taught to be patriots. Children will be taught civic values for schools that want federal taxpayer funding. So as we close the Department of Education and we provide funding to states, we are going to make sure that these funds are not being used to promote communist ideology. For any nation to be successful, it cannot teach its children to hate themselves and to hate their country.
Absolutely. If the child's hating themselves, how are they ever going to love anyone else or their country? I know a lot of times we think we've lost our country. I've had people tell me we've lost it. We'll never get it. No, we have not lost it. But we have to battle for it every day. And thank God that we have the opportunity to continue. I've got a story coming up that I'm going to tell you right now is probably going to shock many of you, and it's going to leave you sad and sickened the rest of the weekend. I'm giving you that advance notice. I know how it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you more than some of the other stuff you hear about. For instance, if I tell you that a special immigrant juvenile program found that accused killers, including MS-13 gang members and sex offenders, were some of the illegals who exploited the juvenile program, which offers visas to migrant youth who have been neglected or abused. They get to come into our country if they are basically subjected to abuse and so forth, they get a chance to come in. They've been using gang members, using that and abusing that program to get into our nation. They've already found 200 illegals approved for special immigrant juvenile program status. They were convicted sex offenders and more than 500 known or suspected MS-13 gang members. Now, obviously, that upsets you and it angers you, does it not? But, I have another story that's going to upset some of you even more, especially if you're an animal lover, especially if you're a dog lover. The Chinese Communist Party for years has allowed dog theft for meat consumption. I know right there immediately, I don't want to hear. No, I think you want to hear this. They allow it to happen, and dog consumption is not a common part of Chinese culture and been getting some backlash. And then, of course, you also have cats, apparently more acceptable. But here's what happened. The owner of a border collie, Chutu, he had on China's TikTok equivalent, he had announced that he had this dog and was showing pictures of him and his dog all the time, a beautiful border collie. He announced the other day on his TikTok, thieves had stolen his dog, sold it to a restaurant for $27, where his border collie pet, I told you you're going to get upset with it, I gave you the warning, was butchered and served in the restaurant. Now, I know that story is going to upset more people than if I told you that, you know, 20 school buses turned over. I'm a dog lover, too, and yeah, it bothers me, but this guy has 1.5 million followers, and he was now seeking some kind of redress from China because they have not been stopping this for all these years. He declared the dog is dead, according to one of the responses from one person. Yeah, the dog is dead. Stop making a fuss. Move on. We treat our pets as our family, do we not? Of course we do. Reminding you, we will air at noon on Monday. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.